Hi everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just Friends.
This is an exciting episode. I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, so let's try and
Yeah,
explain a little what's happening. We talked about this in the last episode, the season two premiere. But we have this kind of new, interesting format we're going to be playing with, which is that we kind of trying to make the episodes shorter, kind of also simultaneously trying to encourage ourselves to be more excited about learning in a way that we like. We're going to take turns in our high-low buffaloes. We're going to take turns bringing in a buffalo, right?
yeah.
Which is just something that one of us is interested in. The other person has no idea what we're about to talk about. Which, if you can tell by my stuttering, is me. I have no idea what's happening in this episode. But Jude has prepared something, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of wild that you have no idea where this conver I mean, I don't know where this conversation's gonna go, but like I have some idea of what we're gonna talk about. It's interesting that you like have n nothing, which will be that's something we'll play with. Maybe that's
Yeah.
not gonna be the vibe, but let's
Yeah.
try.
Yeah. I mean, I think I usually prepare less for episodes than you do anyway, even just like internally thinking about whatever my week or what I'm gonna say. But not even knowing the topic is
It's
definitely
crazy.
super weird. And we're like recording. But anyway, I'm excited.
Me too. Should we start with our
Okay.
highs?
Yeah. My high was yesterday was my first day of class
My
in
God.
Amsterdam. And it was literally mind blowing in
Wait,
a super positive way.
tell me.
My class schedule is crazy. I only have class on Mondays and Wednesdays.
That's it?
Yes, which is
Wait, what?
l literally insane. My Wednesdays are hell. My Wednesdays, I have class from like 9 a.m. to like literally 7 p.m. So
Okay.
don't get too jealous. But Mondays, I just had class from 9 to 11 and then from 5 to 7. Which,
Wait, Lula, you literally have a 4-day weekend.
no, yeah, it's
You're
insane.
crazy. That's
It's really quite
insane.
crazy. So, anyway, besides the actual like finesse of that, just the student body and the approach to academia and the professors and just the culture of the school, which obviously I don't know that well because I was there for a whole like 12 hours, but I was so impressed. I could not believe how like welcome I felt. Like there was definitely a weird like, oh my God, everyone here really does like dress up for school in a way that you see on like European TikTok. And I thought it was fake. And I was like, wow, everyone's in like a blazer and heels, which was kind of crazy. But so, like all that to say, that was the only sort of little like I feel like out of place moment. But every single interaction with someone felt so welcoming, even when we like did not speak the same language,
Do
which
you
was
call your
amazing.
professors by their full name or like their first name or
Their
like how do you do
first
it?
name.
First name,
Yeah,
yeah.
first name.
It changes everything about learning just when you can do that.
Yeah, and it was just so like, I mean, obviously yesterday being the first day was a lot of talking about like what's on the syllabus and like how is this class gonna work? And it was so like, I'm actually gonna want to do a whole episode on this, so I'm not gonna talk about it too much now. But it was so lovely and inspiring.
Oh, that makes me so
And I was
happy.
like, oh, I can't wait for the semester. Like, I love a good classroom sometimes. And I'm very excited. Yeah.
Do you have a class that seems like it's going to be your favorite?
Yeah, it's actually a class that I haven't had yet. But I have it tomorrow. It's called Love Politics. And it sounds super cool. I will be able to say more on it next week. But the gist is about like, oh my God, what is the quote? There's a quote on like the first thing of the syllabus is this quote that says like,
Oh, I think you read it to me before.
did I say it on the
It
pod?
was. No, I don't think so.
Oh wait, I remember. It's justice is what love looks like in public.
Ooh.
Literally mic drop. I'm
Wow.
so excited. It's all about like different perspectives to approach like the potential of love and political atmospheres. And I was like, oh my God. Like our assigned reading is Bell Hooks All About Love, which I was reading anyway, which is this huge popular. Yeah. Anyway.
I'll send this to you. I actually might also put this in my episode notes, but I just got referred to this letter that Einstein wrote his daughter about love and the power of love in the universe.
Whoa.
And it is like, it's insane. Like,
oh my God.
It like sends shivers down your spine. It's so powerful. I would like, yeah, no, love is okay. Fucking awesome and it doesn't okay. get enough credit.
Wait, awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. I think that's a great thing to put in the notes. If you want to read Einstein's love letter,
check it out.
Thanks. Okay, what's your high?
My high was a moment. And it was today. I was biking from school back to my apartment. And it's like 75 degrees out. And I was so sunny, blue skies. And I was just AirPods in, listening to my favorite music. And Noah Kahan. And I'm biking across the bridge, and like all of the docks on the canal are just littered with like human bodies because it's like 2 p.m.
Oh my God. I thought you meant Tuesday. Corpses. I literally thought you meant corpses.
Okay, that was poor choice of words. But everyone is just like sunbathing, and it's like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Right.
And like you can't, like it's actually so many bodies though. It's wild. Like everyone is out. And it was just like so lovely to like see how like a society pauses to enjoy the beautiful moments of life together.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no, I literally like I saw a few people on their phones, but like it was really just like everyone like bathing in the sun with their friends, reading books, like not doing work. And it's like a Tuesday in the middle of the day. Like,
right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's my plan for the rest of the day when we get off. It's all because it's 85 degrees here.
85?
This week, I don't know what is happening, but it's so hot.
Wait, 85 is crazy for
no. I know, and everyone's like gonna jump in a canal later, and I'm like so excited.
Have you jumped in the canal yet?
No, I thought it was illegal, but maybe apparently it's done. I don't know. We'll see.
It's quite chilly, at least for us. But
yeah,
it's really nice.
Love. But I love the thing you said about like society pausing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even like being here, it doesn't even feel like a pause. Like, okay, so one of the funny things, this is a quick anecdote. So my classes are all like 2 to 3 hours. And I was like, that's a bit long. but every hour, there's a built-in 15-minute fucking smoke break.
Yep.
Like literally, like they don't say that, but it's like everyone walks outside, including the professor, and goes like dangles their feet in the canal and smokes. And then they're like, see you in 15. And I'm like, so all like my classes were all like an hour and a half. And everyone's like, go get coffee. Like literally people were going down to like get beer, like in the lobby of the school, and then like come back in. And I was like, this is so interesting. All to say, it feels like a pause to us. But I think to them, it's just like how you go about things. Like, it's not like you wouldn't sit somewhere stationary listening to someone talk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh,
there's this weird thing where like, there's no reason or need to keep going, going, going when everyone else around you doesn't feel like they're going, going, going. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that like part of the beauty of like living in and actually like truly like being in a place like Copenhagen or Amsterdam is you see like, oh, like the reason you feel like you need to get a promotion at your job or the reason you need to be making more money or like the reason you need to be working from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. is because everyone around you, it feels like, is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But when everyone is just like taking their day off, like, okay, well then I should, it's weird if I don't, honestly. Like I feel weird if I like, yeah, like,
yeah. Ugh. Like there was this, sorry, last anecdote.
No, I love this. It's so fun.
There was this whole thing. I know I complained about this in the last episode, but about like my program being like seemingly such a mess. Like just being like last week we were like didn't have class, obviously. Yesterday was the first day, but everyone's like schedule was incorrect because they change like the timetables here like whenever they want, basically. And you just have to check them and like know what's changing. And then, of course, we have all these different requirements we have to meet for, like, the U.S. and, like, transferring credit. So it becomes very stressful. And every time anyone of my friends or I would, like, email our academics program, they would be like, sorry, we're on vacation. Like, see you September 4th. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean September 4th? Like, that's when I need to be seated in a classroom. And now I'm like, oh, it's because everyone's so flexible.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're going to spend the last week before class on vacation. You're not going to be sitting in your desk, like, responding to, like, crazy students. I don't know.
Are you going to be able to, like, switch classes now that classes have started if you want to or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can. That's
I,
nice.
Like, figured it out. Yeah. It's great.
Playing the
system. No more complaining. Yes. Okay. That was a great high.
Yeah.
Okay. Love.
All right. Lows.
Like, shout out. I can't even think of a low right now.
Yes. That's so exciting.
I'm going to say just, like, my, like, emotional lows, just, like, in little moments, have been, like, really missing people. And it's very interesting because it's not in, like, a FOMO way that I expected before coming here. Like, it's not in a way that's, like, I, like, wish I was on campus, like, at Yale, or, like, I wish I was in New York or whatever. I'm, like, really hugely not feeling that. But I do wish I could, like, transplant some favorite people for, like, mm-hmm. a few days or a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah, I guess I'll say this. My low is, like, the time difference.
Ooh.
Or I guess grappling with that.
Very fair.
Super, like, I haven't, like, been able to schedule therapy until today.
Mm-hmm.
Which is partly because my schedule has been such a mess that I have to, like, have been letting her know the day before, being like, please, are you available tomorrow? And she's like, girl, no. So I think, like, that aspect has been rough. Just, like, there's no way to anticipate how, like, unaligned, misaligned, whatever the word is, my schedule was going to be with everyone else's until, like, living it. Also, especially because I didn't have any schedule until yesterday. Like, just literally, I had no plans. Like, I had nothing to do. Now that I have, like, things to do, I, like, need to go to sleep by a certain time and wake up at a certain time. It's so offset from everyone at home that I think that can get a little overwhelming, personally.
Okay, I totally understand. I also think, though, that at first, the routine is going to be overwhelming and you probably make it even harder to connect with people from home. But then I think once, like, you get into that routine and you're like, oh, I go to bed here and, like, this is my free hour, I think that'll help. Actually, you communicate with people from home eventually.
I think so too. I think it's going to, like, kind of force it to be more, like, intentional.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I love intentional friendships.
Woo! Okay. So that was my low, but obviously, still feeling optimistic. I'm in a great mood.
I also struggled coming up with my low. Like, it's pretty awesome out here. My low I came up with, but of all of the lows it could be, it's, like, a pretty good low. Just food is expensive out here. I don't know
That's
about Amsterdam.
That's so
but, like,
true.
Yeah. It's, like, my favorite thing in the world has just gotten, like, is just, like, 15% more expensive. And it's, like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I'm also in Europe. So, like, I'm going to eat all of the good food. Like, I'm not going to, like, miss out on eating, like, incredible bread and, like, incredible pasta and, like, some whack-ass s'more board thing that they like making out here. It's, like, open-faced sandwiches or something that are not that good. But that
anyway,
might be, like, treasonous. But, I don't know. But
no, I've been thinking that, too, because I'm, like, I'm spending so much of all of my money. But I'm also, like, I mean, we talked about this over the summer, and I think we can talk about it for hours and years and decades.
God, yeah.
But, like, I have just always been in a saving mode, like, ever since I started working, which was, like, early high school. I've just been, like, saving for I don't know what.
Yeah.
And now that I'm here, I'm like, girl, this is what you were saving for. Like, now is not the time. I'm, like, almost a little scared of how little I am checking my bank account. But I also feel like, whatever. We don't need to go on a whole rant about this. But
no, but at some point I want to.
Yeah, at some point I want to. Like, bullet point is that I'm like, if I'm saving it here because I'm like, oh, I'm spending too much. Obviously, there's a certain danger zone. There's a certain line that I can't cross. But I'm also like, what would I be saving it for? Like, Haven Hot in New Haven? Literally, yes. Literally, yes, I do want Haven Hot. But also, I'm not. I can't think about that right now.
No, yeah.
It's
like, this is what we are supposed to be. Like, the reason you make money is to spend it. And, like, it's a tool. And, like, this is the time I want to use the tool.
Yes.
But,
good.
But it's a lot of money to be spending on food.
But, like, also, it's kind of, like, food and travel Like, that's kind of all that we're spending right now. Like, the program here, which is so much. Obviously, I'm not saying that's such a little cost. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, being here, the cost of being here compared to Yale's tuition is so much less.
Yeah.
That I'm also, like, in my head, like, the girl math, whatever, is, like, I'm saving so much money by not being at Yale.
I like that.
Okay. You're like, whatever.
I'm like a little hesitant to agree with that, but sure.
Whatever. We don't have to get into that now. But yeah, spending a lot of money, trying not to feel like guilty about it. Cause
like my biggest annoyance is like, and I'm really trying not to let this happen, is like, I like decide to splurge on like on a normal meal.
Right.
But like, and then like, I don't want any of my thought patterns while enjoying that meal to be like, oh shit, like I shouldn't have bought this, or like,
yeah,
oh, how the hell did they charge this much? You know, I just want to enjoy the meal.
I know. Yesterday I got an avocado toast and I added an egg and they added €3 onto my thing for an egg. And I was like, bitch, this wasn't even good. But then I was like, no, I need to calm down.
I got butter chicken at this like incredible Indian place, but like the butter chicken like took a lot. It was a street food place, and I spent like a restaurant amount of money there.
Right.
So long, and I was like, I want a fucking refund.
This isn't good, actually.
I'm not waiting 20 minutes for food at a street food cart.
I'm imagining those things of people like licking the plate clean and then being like, this wasn't fucking okay. I don't know. It's, you know, it's fine. I'm also just thinking back to our episodes during the summer where you were like literally not eating out at all. And I was trying to live. I was living in Brooklyn off of $20 a day. Like, crazy. Genuinely, I was like, this is my challenge. I was like, I'm saving for here. Like, now, okay, we spent all summer saving in our own ways.
Now it's time
obviously
to eat.
There are always going to be big expenses. Fortunate, privileged to not have to be insanely responsible about money right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
That time will come very scarily soon.
Yeah.
But now, I
but
can't
right now,
look at the app.
Let's just munch.
The Chase app is deleted from my phone. Okay.
Okay, Buffalo.
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 Let me see. I'm going to just share a little story that I thought was so interesting.
This is just, are you sharing a Buffalo too?
Oh, this
is interesting.
I thought we were going to like do like high-low Buffalo, but mine is just going to be like short.
And then mine would be longer?
Yeah.
Okay, I've always seen it, and I don't feel that strongly, but I've always seen it just for like some reason. I don't know why. Highs, lows, and then whoever's doing the buffalo will bring a buffalo for the entire episode.
So interesting. No, I want us supposed to have a buffalo.
I don't feel that strong. Like, it's not, you don't have to like pull my arm. It's not deep.
Okay, but I do agree that the person who's not sharing, it can be like a story that we don't have to like analyze for 40 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So my quick little buffalo is that yesterday in my 6 hours between my two classes, I went to this park, Ooster Park, which was like the most beautiful park I have been to. And it was like a 15-minute walk from campus. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to sit here all day and read. So I went with my friends. I was reading. She was journaling. It's a great happy time. It was three of us. And then this like group of like six or something college students came up to us. And we're like, hey, it's everyone's first day of school here. Yesterday was. So I was very surprised by this. But they were like, hey. And they were like, we just got assigned this like first day project to like go around interviewing people about like a problem they see with like Dutch culture or society. Mm-hmm. And then like how they would suggest remedying it and then like compare it to their home country, because Amsterdam is 50% international right now. Mm. Is like their tagline. So it's also super interesting because
were the students Americans coming up?
No, like the girl who's doing the most talking was Dutch. One of them was from California. One of them was from Spain. Okay. I don't know where the other three were from, but it was like a super mixed group. And my friends and I were like, yeah, because they were like, we need three more people. And there were three of us. And it was so interesting for so many reasons. One, I was like, wow, everything here is a group assignment. That's mm-hmm. also like everything on the syllabus. They're like three things you get graded for all semester, and they're all group assignments.
Yep.
We literally have to do a whole episode on school because I have so much to say.
So
about
much
it.
To say on school.
I'm like withholding so much information right now. Like their grading system is insane. Anyway. The whole thing was so fascinating because also it was so interesting to be asked to consider what the Dutch are doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, we're all here thinking this is like utopia. And then like thinking about it and talk, we ended up talking with them for like an hour and they like filmed us and it was this whole crazy engaging thing. But it was just so interesting, like hearing the perspectives of like someone from Amsterdam, like people of color from other countries. Like it was just super wild. It was really fun though. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
What's one thing the Dutch are doing wrong?
Well, one of my friends talked about the huge housing shortage, which is just really crazy. There's like no, like students are just having to drop their degrees because they lose their housing for no reason, either because it's like so expensive or because the school doesn't provide or guarantee any. Another thing I talked about was that like, I don't know, I think Amsterdam is like really, I feel like one of the taglines is like how diverse it is. But it's also like, I was like, looking around this park right now, it is incredibly racially homogeneous, mm-hmm. homogeneous. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think in our orientation, they kind of did a little warning for us about like, yes, the city's super diverse, but like there is a lot of anti-Semitism and there's this like parade where they do blackface and like all of this stuff. And I was like, it's super interesting because I think as a city, it's incredibly like tolerant and like welcoming of a diverse population. But there's also like, it's not actively accepting, if that makes any sense. Like there's this whole Dutch phrase that's like do normal. And it's kind of just like literally like be a Dutchie, like in a that's very specific way. Yeah. More to learn about it. I'll circle back after my classes have been going for more than one day. But it was super interesting. And I was like, I love how like talkative, but like non-invasive everyone is. Mm-hmm. That was one of my takeaways from just like the whole like the way that they approached us was so like just like respectful. I don't know. Like I've been in Wash so many times, Washington Square Park, and been like approached for like a random guy's a question or like some weird, scary like TikTok video interview. And I'm like literally feel like harassed. Mm-hmm. Like just, I don't know. So the difference in that was super interesting. That's my Buffalo.
That's cute. I like it.
Okay, thanks. Oh my God, now I'm ready.
Okay. My Buffalo is the art of running.
Ooh, crazy. Yeah.
So I want to have a discussion about it. I'm going to start. I was very, when I wanted, like when I thought about how I wanted to introduce the topic, I was very clear that I wanted to talk about like the art of running because I think it encompasses a lot of my mixed feelings about it. So, I mean, I think that like art can be really beautiful. And can like be special to the soul and healing. And I think that running can do all of that. And I'm excited to nerd out. I've done like such a little, like such like fun research. It was so fun. And like, it is insanely good for you running. Like it's just like unequivocally really fucking good for you. However, the thing that I'm really interested in exploring with you and like talking about is that at times when you're art, it can be destructive at the same time, and it can be destructive to the soul, especially for the person creating art. And so what I kind of want to talk to you about is like, I've done all of this research and I've really seen like studies have shown it truly is an incredible workout, and you get addicted to it, and you really do get addicted to it. And like, I'm going to talk a little bit about like the chemistry, because that blew my mind. Like a runner's high is an actual high you get. But I'd say I'm addicted to running, like, period. Like, I, like, sometimes hate going on runs. I really don't want to go on a run. And I find myself still going on a run. And so I want to like kind of at some point segue into like my bigger question that I've been grappling with recently is like, is it okay to be addicted to something that doesn't always feel good, but is good for you? Yeah. And so like, I don't know, I can like nerd out a little bit. I don't know how we want to structure this. I don't even know if we like, if I should have give us so much structure to like work with, but like, that's my bigger question. I totally can nerd out about the specifics and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
This is so interesting. Can I share like an initial reaction?
Yeah.
Okay. One, I'm so excited you want to talk about this because literally this morning or yesterday or something, I was seeing everyone from Yale run that 5K. And I was like, okay, what the fuck's going on? Because no one was running like this last year.
Yep.
Also, so interesting. I worked with this girl over the summer. Sorry, context work. I like mentored students and helped them prepare for college, etc. And one of the girls I worked with was very interested in mental health, and she was a cheerleader. And so it was really focused on fitness and mental health. And we literally spent probably 3 weeks researching runner's high. And I have so like literally learned so much. Like I could write like a biology like dissertation on this shit.
So wait, can we give like the listeners just a literal, like a little background of what like a runner's high actually is and like what's happening?
Yeah. Do you want to share first? Because your research is more recent.
Well, okay. From my understanding, when you run, you have endorphins and endocannabinoids.
Yes. Yes. The endocannabinoids.
And endocannabinoids are this, like they bind to the same receptors that cannabis does. Cannabinoids. Yes. That's the receptor. And so you literally do get a runner's high and like it kind of feels euphoric and you're like very in the moment. And from my understanding, I was very curious about this because I don't always have a runner's high, but I think you can all like you can guarantee you get a runner's high if you're running around like 70 to 80% of your max effort. So you're kind of still able to have a conversation when you're running.
Yes. Yeah.
And you just keep running until it hits. Like at some point it will hit. And like, and once you like, I think a lot of people that don't like running and aren't addicted yet haven't had that chemical reaction enough and like hasn't been reinforced to like make it like kind of this compulsive like need. Does that resonate with your research?
Yes. There was also, so just to like reiterate, the endocannabinoids are like, I don't really know. They're molecules that your body is producing when you're running.
Yes.
Which is what is so interesting about them. I think it also dismantles so much, like, I don't know, like critique and so many of the taboos about weed. Because it's like, this is actually a thing that your body can produce and it binds to the same receptors and gives you a very parallel feeling.
The one thing I just have to put in there though,
yes,
just because I'm a neuroscience geek.
Do it.
There are a lot of other receptors that bind to cannabinoid receptors that aren't cannabis. And that's, so I don't know if like that being like some may be better than cannabis, right? Like,
yes.
And how artificial is that the cannabis that like is being smoked versus like endocannabinoids is completely natural, produced by the body. So that, yes.
Yes. There's also this crazy, there was this weird like case study I looked at with this girl that was about like that endocannabinoids and like are much more active in runner's high than endorphins because there was this study that's like when opioid receptors are blocked and therefore the endorphins are blocked, which is like whatever, body's natural opioid, people still experience like euphoria.
Ooh, that's cool.
So it's very interesting. Like, I think that's super still like under research, whatever.
Well, because everyone talks about endorphins and not the endocannabinoids when you talk about running, I feel like.
Yes, totally.
Like, I knew endorphins were produced when you ran, but like, I didn't really know what that even meant.
Right. Because I mean, Yeah, this is obviously us nerding out. Like, no one is researching this.
No, I love it. It's so
fun. But it was literally so interesting. Because Bart, I was like working this girl with someone. I was like, I really don't like, I am not a fitness person. I should have said that the second we started talking mm-hmm. about this. I hate running. My personal mm-hmm. hell used to be like doing the mile or like the pacer test in middle school.
I used to hate those too.
Well, like, I mean, there's so many reasons we could go into fucking hating that, but
oh my God, it's actually the worst.
Literally
thing constructed
hell.
For the physical
worst,
education.
The worst fucking social experiment. Like, no wonder everyone hates themselves and is bullied in middle school. Are you actually joking?
It's
so
bad.
That is crazy. But yeah, so all to say, I'm definitely not a fitness person. I've never enjoyed running, and I have never experienced a runner's high.
See, that's what I was curious about. You've
yeah.
never experienced that.
No, because I've never run. Like,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
do that. Like, yeah. I would rather throw up and cry. Like, I don't. It's just so, like, some of my friends here are like, let's go for a run down the canal. And I'm like, girl, I'll bike beside you. I'm not mm-hmm. fucking doing that. So yeah, I should have shared that POV probably sooner. But anyway, researching it was super interesting. It's
Did it
also,
make you want to run more?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's one of the things where I'm like, I still can't imagine myself running. I also think you can low-key get the runner's high from other, like, parallel exertion forms of exercise. But that's not something I want to do right now. But when I went on that, like, I went on this, like, very long bike ride. It was very hard for me. I, like, haven't ridden a bike in so many years. Not for that distance and not with that, like, anxiety level of, like, you're literally in traffic. And there are 8,000 people yelling at you in a different language to go faster. And there, after, like, 30 minutes, I definitely had a moment of, like, oh, my God, this is feeling, like, euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my mood was, like, so good the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So I think I've definitely experienced, like, whatever, the positive benefits of exercise. I don't know if it's, like, equivalent to runner's high. But, yeah, I was just going to say that researching it, like, exercise is one of those things that it's so, like, fascinating to really research in a, like, whatever psychological, like, physiological lens, because it's so objectively beneficial
yeah.
to you. Like, there's just no, like, obviously I'm sure you're gonna get into, like, what's the some downsides or something, some negative experiences, which I also have a lot to say about, but if you're approaching it in a healthy way, it's so good for you in
yeah.
so many different ways. Anyway,
okay, I'm gonna riff off this. I'm gonna take this opportunity to talk about some of the health benefits, and then, like, I don't need to dwell too long on them because I think everyone knows they're just good for you. But I just, like, there were some, like, statistics that I heard that were just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then after that, I do want to talk about the downsides, because that's the thing that I'm more, like, grappling with right now.
Right. Okay.
So just a few good benefits is, like, there's just general improved mood. It actually does increase your knee health. If you're running, like, 5 times a week, you get deeper sleep. It's often referred to as a form of meditation. And then my favorite is a longitudinal study. So they followed 52,000 different people for, like, a very long time, like
right.
decades.
Yeah.
And it showed that runners live 19% longer on average than non-runners.
That's
which
fucking
is insane.
Crazy. That's insane.
And it's, like, one of the only workouts known that, like, actually works all of these different, like, entire different muscle groups. And what they're realizing is if it's working your entire body, it likely is also working your brain and your ability to stay attentive and focused and, like, kind of push yourself even though you think your body can't. Like, there's, like, a lot of, like, kind of brain workout happening when you're
right.
running as well.
Sure.
Now, let's talk about the downsides, because that's what I want to go into.
Okay, yay.
What happens when, like, I really don't want to go on a run? that like when my body, like maybe my body doesn't want to go on a run, I don't want to go on a run. It sounds so much better to just lay in bed, scroll through TikTok, or I don't have TikTok, but like watch YouTube videos. Like
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. And I'm like, and I'm don't listen to my internal, I'm not intuitive. I'm going and saying, no, get out of your fucking bed and go on a 30-minute run now. Like, and
So you do go on a run when you don't want to, is
all,
what you're
I
saying.
have a routine. Like, I if I don't like, yes, like I have to. Like, it's not even like a, it's not like a, oh, I should or this would be good. It's like a rule set in stone that, like, I mean, it my workout routines change, but in general, every day of the week of the work week, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm running for 30 minutes. And like, some like today, I'm so excited to go on a run by the canal. Like, I'm gonna jump in the water after. Like, it's gonna be euphoric. But like, there are other times where I really don't want to go on a run. It's rainy out. Like, I don't feel like it. Like, but I just kind of suck it up because I know the benefits and I know I'll get a runner's high maybe eventually, like after. But it's like kind of brutal.
Have you ever like gone on a run when you don't want to and then like don't feel good after?
Yes.
Okay, so that's super interesting to me. Because I was thinking it was like a loop, like a feedback loop of like a even if I like have gone and I don't want to before, like I always feel better after. But that's
No.
not always the case.
Like, I'm always happy I did it because like I'm done with it and like my day started and like I've done physical, like I
Right.
feel achieved,
Right. But
right?
it's like a to-do, it's like a checklist
Yeah,
thing,
rather
maybe.
than like a euphoric high.
Okay, totally.
And I'll also add the caveat. So another crazy just fact is that when you're running, you're usually putting like 4 to 7 times the force of your body weight onto your like knees and your ligaments, right? So you're putting a lot of pressure onto your muscles and specifically your joints. And like, if you're running, it's usually fine. But I've had times where I'm like hurt. Like, I hurt my ankle. And like, I started running because I was so addicted to running sooner than I should have.
I
And like,
remember when you
it
hurt your
hurt.
ankle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, the first thing I said was, oh no, I can't run.
Yeah, you were like, I'm just gonna keep go. Like, you started running way sooner than you should have,
Yeah.
probably.
I get
Yeah.
100%. And like, and then my knee started hurting because of that. And then I kept running because I kind of need it. And like being like, and I don't know because like it's bad, clearly. Something like the idea of addiction is super scary and being like reliant on a thing, but also being reliant on something that's in general pretty good for you. Ah, I don't know.
That's when it's like, is it good for you?
Yeah. Like, would you tell someone that all they eat is veggies and like they get enough protein somehow, but like all they do is veggies? They're clearly addicted to veggies. Is that bad?
Like, I would say, yeah.
Okay, why do you say that?
I mean, I'm also like, wasn't there some like, I forget her name and I don't really even know what I'm talking about. I just saw a headline, but I feel like last month or something, the woman who like, spearheaded this whole like raw veganism movement, like died from like starvation.
Is raw vegan? I
Like
don't know what
raw,
that is.
like a diet where it's like you just only eat like raw food, like fruits and
Ew.
vegetable. It's like I don't even know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
But she passed away.
yeah, and I would say that's bad. I would say that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I've known like a good handful of people who seem to have a very unhealthy relationship with running. And
And
in
what does
ways that,
unhealthy look like? Just.
yeah, I was gonna say like in ways that present more extreme than yours, probably. But I think the most I saw it with you was when your ankle was hurt. 'Cause I was like, you don't need to be running right now. And you were like, yes, I do. And I was like, just like your girl, you're hobbling up the stairs back up to your room. Like, maybe don't go for a run. And obviously, that's very hard because no one is gonna, like, whatever. No one's gonna, I'm speaking too generally. I don't wanna ever tell someone that they're addicted to something, right? And I also don't know enough about what running feels like, or just like, yeah. I feel like I'm coming from a place of ignorance that doesn't make me like qualified to be like, this looks like an unhealthy relationship. Because like you said, we're also being preached to, especially in America, about how we need to be working out more.
Yep.
And like this, as if it's like an end all be all, like this will solve your problems. Like your sleep will be better. Your mental health will be better. You will not be obese like the rest of the country. All of this stuff. I'm like, here, even I had this conversation with someone like 3 days ago when I was like, whatever, talking about bikes with some duchy. And they were like, yeah, it's like everyone here is so thin because they're riding their bikes all the time. But no one here like works out, it seems.
Oh, that's interesting.
And also the Dutch like food is all fried bread and cheese.
Yeah.
Every single like any sort of fast food plate, like I'm sure it's made with whatever healthier ingredients than in the US, but anything that is like equivalent to fast food or even just like what people eat every day, like their snacks and their lunches are always like cheese and bread and fried stuff. Mm. And I haven't seen one overweight person just like at all. So there's so much obviously to analyze there. I will also say like back on the addiction piece and the working out piece, I got into like, I think like so many people that almost everyone I know got into a crazy workout thing during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was just doing like insane, like fucking Chloe motherfucking Ting. We need to
Not
have her on
Chloe
this podcast.
Ting.
We need to have her on this podcast and talk about what she did to society.
Yeah,
like
no,
literally
crazy, yeah.
That, and I'm not saying like she's malicious, but I'm just saying that was such a crazy
era.
Phenomenon, like
yeah.
What the heck was happening? And I remember I thought of this because when you were talking about the like some days I don't want to do it, but I'd wake up and be like, I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna feel better after, and I would do Chloe Ting every single day, and I lost so much weight. I don't think it was healthy. I do not remember like intuitively wanting to be working out. I would never like wake up from bed and be like, ah, I can't wait to play Chloe Ting's workout video today. Like, no. So I think there's like really, really something wrong with our workout culture in general.
Yes.
Because I wasn't ever getting any sort of euphoria from that. And I was still like, I need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, especially that era, what, like being like 17 in lockdown, there is
yeah.
so much about like body image and comparison and like literally nothing to do but be on social media and like da 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 da. So it wasn't like, obviously can't look at it in a vacuum of like why everyone was so obsessed with working out so much. But I think just like in my experience and what I've seen of a lot of people that I'm very close to, like time and time again, like an addictive sort of workout regimen becomes super unhealthy and then also plays into like unhealthy food habits or like other like life altering sort of issues. Like I'm just even thinking about myself. Like when I started working out, I had like a super healthy relationship with food. And by the time I like realized I like didn't want to be working out anymore and I was still doing it so much, I was like, wait, also I'm not eating. Like, yeah, not in a point blank period way, but I was like, wait, I'm not eating enough at all.
So
yeah.
One thing I just want to respond on that is like
it's wincing.
I think you know this, but I don't think I've like, I don't explicitly ever say this, but like, so I value running so much that I plan my meals around running.
Mm. Yeah. You're correct,
right?
That I know that and you've never said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I'm not like, I'll definitely always like, I eat like the proper meals, but like, I even thought, because I want to go on a run after this podcast and I usually like need more than an hour for my food to digest. Otherwise, like, my run's not that good. So I was like, do I really eat lunch before this? And I ended up doing it. But, like, I'm probably going to have to do, like, another hour of something else before I can go on my run. And so, like, usually I'll try
right.
And, like, eat after my run. Right? And, but, like, it just does, it moves your, like, if my running is at a variable time, it, like, ruins my ability to, like,
yeah.
have a structured meal plan. And so I think that, like, just naturally for me, that is, I think, probably the most one of the more unhealthy parts of my running routine. And just going back to I feel like the answer here, the easy answer is like, oh, well, just do it intuitively. Like, when you want to go on a run, go on a run. And when you don't, right. don't. But it's really not that simple, right? Like, it does feel more like an addiction in that regard of, like, even if the run doesn't feel that good always, like, the feeling of getting it done and, like, I'm gonna, like, it does make you feel better and it does make you more productive and it does make you feel more awake. And, like, it also just feels like starting the day off and being like, yeah, like, I did my run already. Like, it's 8:30 or 9 and, like, everyone's getting out of bed and, like, my body's active. Like, it feels like there's a little bit of, like, a superiority complex that comes totally. Along with it, right?
Totally, yeah.
And you see these people, like, running around the beach, like, topless, and, like, it feels, like, it's annoying and like I hate seeing other people do it, but it feels pretty good doing it. Right. And so I don't know. It's just like I just want to acknowledge that like it might sound really easy, right? Like just fucking do like listen to your body. And I just want to acknowledge that like not only does it, I don't think just social media and body image issues and Chloe Ting play a role in this. Like I think there's an actual like also like piece of addiction to it that I wanted to
totally
like, that's the yes that was I think my bigger point there.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think I'm trying to remember like when I came out of that madness and I don't really know how, but I am sure that era plays a huge component in why I am so averse to exercise now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge. I mean, we kind of talked about this on the Courtney pod.
I was like, just thinking that.
Literally last fall or something, whenever that was. But the yoga, that I was like, I don't want to do hot yoga with you because I don't want to get addicted to it.
Yeah. But then is like, your fear of being addicted to a workout unhealthy?
I don't know.
Because if you're not working out, right, like that's another question, right? That goes the other way.
I know. I mean, that's really honestly, that's why I brought up the whole like biking culture here thing, because I would love to be more comfortable on my bike and I would love to be able to use it daily for some duration. And like that is literally like getting me from point A to point B in a more convenient way. And it's also like movement.
It's movement. It's cheaper. It's way more pleasurable. Like,
yes.
Like it boosts your mood to bike to class, even if it's in the rain.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think, I don't know what to do about, I don't know how to solve this issue. I don't know what to do about the addiction piece. Like, yeah. I don't really know.
And I don't know if we need to, like, I think I bring this up because it feels like one of those topics that, like, it doesn't have a sexy answer, right?
No.
Like, no. I don't know if I would be happy just, like, or healthier if I just was like, okay, well, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to work out or, like, I'm going to try and do it intuitively. Like, that doesn't really work, for me at least. And that's, like, okay. It's just I think it's important to talk about, too, because, like, even doing research, all of the YouTube videos that I watched, all of the articles I watched were either like, fuck running, like running is like, don't get down the track, like don't go down that rabbit hole. Or most of them is like, I started running every day and this is how my body changed. Or like, this is why right. you should start running. And it's like, there's no like real honest discussion about like, yes, it's this beautiful gift, right? Like there's a reason, like humans, it's an evolutionarily like advantageous yeah. trait that we run. Like
yes.
there's a reason we gained that ability. There was a really cool fact. I want to pull that up. I just learned it. I think we are the fifth longest distance animal. So the only animals that can run longer distances than humans are horses, dogs, camels, and ostriches.
Like, not like lions and tigers?
Nope. They
That's
can run faster.
So interesting.
But not for as long.
Wait, sorry. I'm imagining like an ostrich outrunning you.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, that should be our like post. I don't know. Yeah, that's super interesting actually. I had no idea that was true.
Yeah, I thought that was a crazy little like, because I always feel like it's also like this commodified thing. Like you go to Lululemon, you buy your shorts and you go to Nike and you get your running shoes. But like, no, like running has been part of like culture and humans forever.
Yeah.
And now just because of a commercialized system, it's kind of created this like expectation to run if you do run, and like there's all these proponents and there's all these like pessimists about it. And like, I think it's a much more complex and fraught topic.
Yeah.
Because it really is a drug in like a real way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. I wish there was anything to conclude. Did you want to say anything more about the art piece?
I wasn't gonna, but I have a few like just general bullet points on that. I think the most powerful form of running I really struggle to do still. But it's running without any stimuli. So running without any music.
Sure.
Because when you find the flow of running and you are in the runner's high and you are kind of flying through the world and you can really let go and really be creative and the soul comes out. Like running can be really emotional. Like when I like my favorite times to run, there are times where my body literally are like, you need to like stop everything, go on a run right now. Like there are general times, like I remember coming home from college for the first time in freshman year for Thanksgiving break. I got out of the car. I like was tweaking out. It was just sensory overload. It was too much. I got out of the car. I immediately put on my running shoes and went on a run. And like, it was like, I didn't even say that to my family. Like it was like immediate. And it was so needed and it was so healing and so powerful. And like, it just, I think the art of running, I think is like, it's a way of like outputting intense emotion and intense soul into the world, into energy, right? Into another form. And that part feels really, that feels like the healthiest part of running. But you don't always have intense emotions to put into the world.
I mean, that sounds intuitive.
That is intuitive. Like that's, I think, the best form of running. But like, I don't think like most writers write every day, even though the days where they can like feel really just like full of writing and like are going to be able to write the next, I was going to say Harry Potter.
Jesus Christ.
The next Harry Potter. Like it's, that doesn't come just always, right? You put in the work, you put in the effort, you write every day to get that output at some point.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
So, yeah.
There's this, speaking of the art of running, I don't know why this has made me think of this, but we should get her on the pod. There's this girl who interviews people on runs.
That's crazy.
Wait, let me look her up really quick.
Like, she's while like, they're running and she runs with them?
Yeah, she's blowing up. She has like 300,000 something followers right now. Kate Max, M-A-C-K-Z. I'm manifesting it now. We're going to get you on the pod to talk about this. But I think it started, I really don't know because I've just seen her on my For You page, but I think it started with her just like going on a run and going up to strangers who like look like they're on a run and being like, hey, if you come do this 5 mile run with me, I'll go buy you a new pair of shoes or whatever it is. And it's like, okay. And they talk about the craziest stuff. But the one I just saw on my For You page was with like Noah Beck, who's like obviously very famous TikToker. I don't really, whatever. Yeah. He's like a hype house guy or something. I don't know the houses. Anyway, super interesting. And I think there's something to, like you said something about the whole, like you can keep up conversation when you're running. And like, these people are going on long runs. Like it's really like not like they're like running over all throughout the city. And it's super interesting to see because obviously she compresses them into like a minute or something. And it's like mile four, like who's your biggest inspiration? Like it's very fascinating. Anyway,
that's interesting.
Yeah. But I'm also like, I wonder how she feels about running. Cause now it's her literal job.
Her literal job.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'll also just say on the last point in here, like I think some of my favorite creative ideas that I've ever had have come from running.
That's super interesting.
So just some food for thought.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
Not like a sexy cleanup of the end of the conversation, but also like felt very fulfilling to me nevertheless. Like
no, that was really fun.
It was interesting to like nerd out. I'm like, it's a complex. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I'll think about it on my run today.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Anyway.
I have a shout out.
Shout out. Give it to me.
Okay. You don't even know her, but I woke up to a text from Ella this morning who's studying.
Shout out Ella.
Shout out Ella. But she doesn't even get the shout out. Hold on. She is studying in London this semester. But she was in Paris with her friends from school for the past like week or something. And she just texted me, oh, by the way, the first thing Myra said when I saw her was how much she loves your pod and that she listens to all the episodes. Fans international.
Oh my
God. And I was like, shout out Myra. So
hell yeah.
Literally hope I get to visit you in Paris. I met her literally like once at Dillo Day in the spring when I went to Northwestern. And it's so crazy to me that she listened. I was
That's
like,
so
wait,
cool.
This is awesome.
Thank you
literally
so much
huge.
For listening.
Literally, Illy, hope to see you soon. Hope to be in a little Parisian cafe maybe this semester. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Yay.
Lula, you're going to bring in a topic next episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll see. I will. Okay. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.